Jack Rose was a big man who coaxed a big sound from his acoustic guitar. Friends say he was just as vigorous when he wasn't playing, so it came as a shock when Jack Rose died, suddenly, in December, at the age of 38. The last record he completed comes out next week. Reporter Joel Rose, no relation, has this appreciation.
Jack Rose wasn't a flashy player, but there was nothing tentative about the way he approached his guitar. On stage, Rose's intensity was obvious, says his friend and fellow musician Christopher Smith of Philadelphia band Espers.
He was very physical. He was all huffing and red, and he was so on top of that instrument, just pulling it and bending it. He also had this amazing swing. He just knew how to swing and how to swagger that was almost like the butter in the skillet. A very beautiful spiritual player.
Rose's music incorporated a range of styles, including minimalism and Indian ragas, but mostly he drew on American blues, country, and ragtime. In an interview 5 years ago, Rose told me he had a special fondness for anything recorded before World War II.
A lot of people, when they view old-time music, they view it as gentle or like nostalgic, which I don't get at all. It just sounded weird. It was totally bizarre sounding to me and messed up.
I should point out that you probably mean that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah. That's what attracted me to it, so just the strangeness of it.
Jack Rose started playing acoustic guitar as a teenager in Fredericksburg, Virginia. He especially liked the fingerpicking of Mississippi John Hurt and Booker White. But Rose switched to electric guitar in high school after a guitar teacher told him, quote, "That's where the money is." As if to prove him wrong, Rose joined a drone rock band called Pelt. Rose moved to Philadelphia in 1998. He worked a series of day jobs at record stores and restaurants. He'd been listening to John Fahey, the father of the American Primitive School of Acoustic Guitar Music. So, pushing 30, Rose sold his electric guitars and went to work relearning the acoustic.
I hadn't played fingerstyle for like 15 years. So I knew if I was going to be any good at it, I'd have to not work and just work on that exclusively. And so when I got unemployment, you know, I was getting a check every week, so, you know, that afforded me the time to really explore it and work on my skills and become good at it.
It didn't take long for Rose to get better, says music journalist Byron Coley, who knew him for 15 years.
A lot of times I wouldn't see him for a period of a few months or a year, and it would be as though he'd learned an entire new vocabulary of techniques. For me, it was always a revelation to see him.
After a decade of touring and recording for small labels, Rose had finally achieved enough success to quit his day job. Last year, he signed with Thrill Jockey Records, a prominent independent label. But Rose died of a heart attack in December, 2 months before the release of Luck in the Valley, his first record for his new label. Rose's friend and fellow guitarist Glenn Jones says that's what makes the timing of his death seem so cruel.
I think Jack was really kind of looking forward to, like, I'm not going to have to be a chef. I'm not going to have to work day jobs anymore. He and his wife had just bought a house. And the career trajectory, I think, is the thing that is so disheartening because he'd worked so hard. And to have the rug kind of get pulled out of from under him at this moment is just, you know, all I can think is I just hope he doesn't even know what happened to him.
Jones was one of dozens of friends and collaborators who paid tribute to Rose at a memorial concert in Philadelphia that was to have been a record release party. Glenn Jones remembers many late nights talking about music with Rose, who was a voracious record collector. So does singer and guitarist Meg Baird. She says Rose was a man of strong opinions.
Occasionally it could be a little maddening, but it was all fun. It was just because he, you know, loved music so much and enjoyed that culture of like records and one-upmanship.
Rose would even try to one-up himself, recording the same tune on two or more albums if he thought he could do it better. Jack Rose said ragtime tunes like St. Louis Blues were especially tough to pull off.
You have to get the syncopation right, which is really hard. You have to hear where the beats are, and it took me years to even figure that out, even after I recorded a couple of records, and I realized I was doing it wrong. So I had to like totally change my way of playing. That's the great thing about music. You're always picking up new stuff and getting turned on and trying new things out.
Rose was constantly turning other people on to new stuff, too. After our interview, we talked about an anthology of pre-war gospel music that he owned and I didn't. The next time I saw him, Rose handed me 6 homemade CDRs. It was a small gesture, but it may help explain why Jack Rose made such a big impression on those who knew him. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose in Philadelphia.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News, directed by Elaine Heinzman and produced by Sarah Byer Kelly, Walter Ray Watson, Kimberly Adams, Veronica Miller, Thomas Pierce, Julia Bailey, Zoe Chase, Sarah Coe, and Jonathan Rappaport, our new intern, who, by the way, is available to entertain at children's parties. Our technical director today is Ivan Burketh. Our librarian is Kim Oleski. Melissa Goes, our web producer. Our show was edited today by Jeffrey Bennett. The senior editor of Weekend Edition is Jenny Virgil, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition is Devar Iran Ardalan. I'm Scott Simon.